stood there in sheer disbelief. William Jennings Bryan and Andrew Joseph Wolfson. The syndicated cartoonist depicted them as being among the guests at the wedding of Cana in Galilee, about which our gospel lesson for today reports. In 1912, as Secretary of State, William Jennings Bryan had signed a treaty with the Japanese. His host toasted the occasion with glasses of wine. He raised his hope, as he said, in that element in which both nations proposed to be spent. Andrew Joseph Wolfson claimed the same was his introduction of legislation to implement the 18th Amendment, forbidding the use and sale of liquor which had more than 0.5% alcohol in it. The whole nation got a chuckle out of the jive invented by the cartoonist when it appeared in the late 20s as the Ashmead opinion developed to rescind the amendment as it was in 1933. There they stood, Bryan and Wolfson, both professed followers of Jesus, amid six jars that contained no less than 160 gallons of wine, a great deal more than the 0.5% allowed by law. Both authors and readers saw the occasion as a manifestation of power in nature, turning water into wine, of all things. The evangelist wants us to understand this miracle, however, as a spectacular of grace. That is to say, we are to look at our text and understand that the term glory in it as referring to God's grace, his intervention on the side of forgiveness. And here is the text. Jesus did this in Cana of Galilee as the beginning of his time. He exhibited his glory, and his disciples put their trust in him. These words stand at the confluence of three major conceptualizations. First of all, the observation of the master of ceremony that it was customary to serve the best wine first, and later on, that which was less good. Jesus had turned the order around to make the point which he did at a number of other times, that he had come to bring the new kind of wine for which there was no particular room in the old chapters and in the old sin. He had not come to add another chapter to Judaism. He was the bridegroom who had ushered a new age of rejoicing. Secondly, we have to note when this miracle took place, according to John. It is obvious that the evangelist states his material according to Genesis 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And that Logos became the light of the world, just as God had said at the beginning, "Let there be light." To him, John the Baptist came as a witness, testifying to the fact that he was the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. After all, no royal personage, and much less a divine personage, comes unannounced. The evangelist then goes on to tell us what happened during the next 3 days, once the light had come. Andrew goes looking for Simon, Philip for Nathanael, and they see in Jesus something new. Then suddenly we read at the beginning of chapter 2 in John, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. In other words, we are at the seventh day. While technically speaking, this may not have been the Sabbath on the calendar, it was still the seventh day. Through the centuries, that day had foreshadowed the coming of the Messianic work. It would consist of thanksgiving and rejoicing in the presence of God. So Jesus Jesus had accepted the invitation to the wedding and brought his disciples along to good measure. The whole village was out to celebrate. The jars of water used for the rite of purification quickly became vessels of the most exquisite wine. To comprehend this in terms of grace, we have to be aware of the fact that in the thinking of the people in those days, that is in Judaism, it was the wine from which he had practiced in disobedience to God's command. That must be the day when it had brought a curse on all mankind. So in Jesus' first miracle, what he does is to remove the curse, indicating once again that the age of the Messiah had gone. And here, as we know from the intertestamental literature, that would abound in rags and numerous quantities of grace as the source of kind of drink that helps people to rejoice and to suffer. This was the beginning of sin, says John. From here on, the words and works of Jesus were directed to that single point. The messianic age has come. The kingdom of God is among you. God is in your midst. And forgiveness. Having you yourself often wondered why the story of the wedding at Cana ends so abruptly. It ends with the courteous criticism of the master of ceremonies about serving the best wine first. It stops there because the point has been made. And while the occasion could have lent itself to a lot of the elaborate further description, this was not the work of some wonder worker, but as a spectacular in grace. This miracle was a sign in the sense that it exhibited what Jesus articulated in so many words at the very outset of his public ministry, namely, the time has been fulfilled, the kingdom of God is among us. Cana witnessed the first time. There were many to follow, and they're still going on.
And that's also the message of the official education. The mystery of God is told to hide from the wise and the understanding. He pleased to reveal to those and little children. The message of God first to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of His Majesty, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. God are the base of the Messiah Christians and the right Christians. We do not try to fulfill promises. We only invite them to the great truth. The truth in which the bread of life is served for the life of the world. This bread and present us, people of today, like the people of all, as manna. Manna. What is it? What is it? And only you and I have the answer. This is the bread which comes down from heaven for you and for me, for our life here and hereafter. This is the bread which a $1 million comes from. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.